Girl. And welcome to the Richard Rants Show. I am Richard Rants, and I'm here to talk about the show and to talk about the great show, the big show that's going on in our world. What is happening? What is the world showing us? What can we show the world? Brothers and sisters, friends, and those that I care about, welcome, welcome. Well, there is a lot to talk about, and where to start might even be a tough question. I will look forward to later in the show, on the second half, I will have a special guest, and that will be Max. Special guest is Max GL, and he is going to talk about what may be on his mind and asked me what was on my mind. And one of the things that I have been contemplating is Joe Biden's picks for his cabinet and for his important advising team and teams, the economic team, the COVID epidemic team, the people who are working in Joe Biden's administration, because we're all playing a guessing game right now and we don't know how it's going to turn out. Well, Max will be here on the second half of the show in about half an hour. He's a law student at Georgetown University, and he's done work in criminal justice and democracy protection through the Senate Judiciary Committee and other institutions. He is a fighter for the less privileged. He is a fighter in the political arena for the less privileged, and he worked really hard to get Joe Biden elected and get the chump that has been wrecking our country and our democracy with his narcissistic and anti-democratic, fascistic tendencies to get him out. So I'm very, very proud to have Max on the show for the second half, and I'll look forward to sharing our conversation with him. And if anyone else wants to comment on the show, you can reach me at richardrants@yahoo.com. And I have a discussion group here on Facebook. It's the Richard Rants Show discussion group. I also recently joined Twitter, but I haven't been tweeting much. It's just, I just haven't gotten used to it yet. So, well, anyway, let's get to what we are wanting to talk about today. What is going on in the world? Woof. Well, thank goodness that Joe Biden won the election. Because 4 more years, or however many more years, of Trump would have been a disaster. The 4 years he already had were a disaster. As is amply demonstrated by the out-of-control nature of the pandemic here in this country, as the deniers, led by the chump himself in the White House, have managed to make a mess of a situation that could have been handled. and that has been handled in other countries in a much more effective way, simply by following the best practices that are well known to health professionals and medical professionals and pandemic experts throughout the world. It is not a mystery. President Obama knew that pandemics were the most dangerous possible event, and more than possible, actual probable event, that we have several pandemics going on in the world right now. AIDS, MERS, there are a couple of others that are going on right now, pandemics or epidemics, and any one of those could spread. It is amazing that we got rid of smallpox in the world by vaccinating just about everybody, and that was enough to attain the vaunted herd immunity that foolishly top politicians, mostly on the right-wing side, which is the science-denying side, have been saying that, oh, that's what we do, the herd immunity. Well, herd immunity is a real concept, and it does have to do with a certain amount of the population becoming immune. However, that medical concept was developed in relation to vaccination, that by vaccinating a certain amount of the population, that they would then be immune, and therefore the remaining non-vaccinated members of the population can be safe from the epidemic. It is not a theory that medical professionals ever put forth as a way to actually address a pandemic. No, because too many people die when that happens. And that's what's happened, and that's what's happening in the United States, and more people are dying per day than ever from a pandemic. And perhaps we can go back to 1918, the Spanish flu, and maybe the numbers were more than comparable then. So you'd have to go back to 1918, the Spanish flu pandemic, to have this many deaths from an epidemic. But even then, they knew better. It was largely spread through military convoys, and much of the population knew enough that they were wearing masks even back then. Yes, they wore masks in 1918. That's how old this simple measure to alleviate the spread of a pandemic is. That's how old it is. Vaccination, of course, is even older. As Mariana, who was good enough to appear on the show a couple of times, reminded me, as she's a scientist working on similar technologies, that the vaccine for smallpox originally was cowpox, that some very astute medical scientists discovered that if they injected cowpox, then they became immune to smallpox. And that was the beginning of the smallpox vaccine. It happened more than a century ago. So this is an old technology, an old medical technology. But what's new with the vaccines that are coming out is that, for instance, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are based on RNA, and they're based on replicating the RNA of the virus and then building an artificial antibody. And I may not have the exact scientific procedure down here, but essentially they're building an artificial antibody. So they don't even have to, the old way of getting a vaccine was you get the virus and you kill it, and then, or you weaken it, and then you inject it in the person or animal in the trial phase, and then they develop the antibody against this harmless version of the vaccine. But these new vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, and maybe a couple of others, there's a whole bunch of vaccines coming out. The Russians claim they have one also called Sputnik. And I'm not sure the technology that they're using for that, but this is new, the RNA. And what happened was within a matter of a month or something after the SARS-CoV-2, which is what they're calling COVID now, is sequenced genomically by the Chinese within a month or two and released. And you can criticize the Chinese all you want for how they handled it initially. They certainly did some covering up. But once they got on it, they made sure that pandemic did not spread. And ever since then, they've done great. Even though it started there. And a lot of people were sickened and died in Wuhan. But they first limited it to Wuhan. I mean, they took the logical steps. And because it's the Chinese government, which is entirely sort of military controlled and authoritarian, and also because people are used to just obeying what they're told to do in this government situation, they not only imposed very stringent limitations on movement and tracked every single contact of every person who got COVID, followed all the well-established best procedures, best tactics for battling a pandemic, and they did it. And so China, where it started out and grew huge, is now doing pretty well containing it. And anytime it breaks out, they know how to contain it again. Right now, Europe's going through a second wave, but it's nothing like ours. We never even had a second wave. We've been on a growing wave the whole time, and now it's at a peak that it's never been. It's an all-time high right now of COVID infections and deaths, and we're leading the world in COVID infections and deaths. America first, right? Leading the world in COVID. That's where we're at. On that. Well, is there something else to talk about? By the way, if you want to put in a comment, I will read it. Well, shall we go back to Biden's cabinet or talk about the White House pardon scandals and bribery schemes? Or do we want to talk about the time that a leader of a militaristic, gangsterish government, and I'm talking about Israel, that would be president of Israel, said, oh, Fakhrizadeh, remember that name, in a speech that he gave not long ago, a couple of months ago, 3 months ago. Anyway, you can check it out. But the Iranians and others have alleged that the assassination of Fakhrizadeh, who is one of the top nuclear scientists, or perhaps the top nuclear scientist in Iran, who was assassinated in Iran, and it's pretty well accepted by anyone who is willing to venture a guess that the Israelis assassinated this Iranian scientist in Iran. And it would not be the first time that they had assassinated an Iranian scientist. So it's not at all far-fetched. And it's well known that the Israeli Secret Service and Israeli military have the capability of assassinating Iranians in Iran and have done so before. And why? Why would the president of Israel do that at this time? Well, for one thing, they just like to assassinate Iranians. But for another thing, he may be hoping to put a spoke in the wheels of a possible rejoining of the Iran nuclear deal, as Joe Biden has promised to rejoin it. It was a very good deal, and it allowed the United States and a coalition of states to very carefully monitor Iran's nuclear program so that we could avoid them building nuclear bombs and nuclear missiles, which is a great thing. And in this world, it would be great if we could prevent countries from building nuclear bombs that could destroy the entire Earth. Wouldn't that be great? I think it would be great. Which is also why Joe Biden has promised to rejoin the nuclear and other weapons treaties that the current non-president Trump, the ex-president Trump, had left, had abandoned. And Biden will rejoin other things that this ex-president abandoned, relating to global cooperation, such as with the UN, and actually become once again a leader at the United Nations, concerned with perhaps the welfare of the world, and will rejoin the Paris Accord so that the world can cooperate to make efforts to reduce carbon emissions throughout the world, reduce the use of fossil fuels, and in reality, we should be working towards zero carbon emissions in the world. We really can't afford anymore because the greenhouse effect has heated the world and has changed our weather horrifically and cataclysmically in many areas, is causing an incredible amount of pain and suffering. And we're past the point of no return where it's going to keep getting worse for many years now, even if we were to cut the emissions to zero right now. However, though the Paris Accord does not go far enough, it is a positive effort at world cooperation to address a very important initiative that must be addressed throughout the world. And I would also add in my personal wishes that in the course of doing this, the developed wealthy nations of the world who have benefited the most monetarily from the burning of fossil fuels, from the use of fossil fuels and fossil resources throughout the world by building more, by burning more, by consuming more, that those nations who are now wealthy, partly thanks to their use of these fuels, need to pass it on, pass it along, and take care of those who are less fortunate. And that's a principle that I wish that people would follow everywhere, where the fortunate help the less fortunate. This is not a radical idea, or maybe it is a radical idea, depending on your context. For instance, one of the most famous, perhaps, radicals is the figure of Jesus Christ, well known and beloved by Christians and known throughout the world, who was, in fact, a rebel against the establishment in which he lived, according to the story, which is partly myth, and the amount that is myth and the amount that is perhaps reality is very difficult to determine. People debate about it all the time. And on the religious side, they say it comes down to faith. Well, faith. It doesn't just come down to faith. If you're just going to believe everything in the Bible, that's too much. I can't buy it. No amount of faith can make you believe everything in the Bible, literally. I mean, there are many contradictions, and there are many things that just don't make sense, especially in our modern world. So, faith, no. You don't take it all on faith. But somewhere in between the faith and the science and the analysis can be a determination. But I digress. So Jesus was a rebel. And part of his message, and I'm no Christian, I'm not. But I don't say the Christians are wrong. I think that the fundamentalist Christians are wrong. My opinion. But if you actually follow the teachings of this figure Christ, and they're very similar to teachings of other religious leaders, I'm no expert on the sayings of Muhammad, and I am not perhaps an expert on the sayings of Buddha, but I have studied it a little bit, and a lot of them agree that compassion is a very important factor in how humans should deal with each other. Compassion and charity, consideration for one's fellow being, and love for the fellow beings. So here I am, preaching peace and love. That's the second half of my byline, rant and resist, peace and love. So that's the peace and love part, encouraging compassion and helping, which was a digression from talking about how the more privileged and the more wealthy need to help the less privileged and those in need as a principle. And to argue against that principle, I would challenge you to find a good basis for that other than survival of the fittest, dog eat dog, and may the best man win and all the others lose. And I don't accept those. Don't accept it. There can be people who make more money than other people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you're Jeff Bezos and you're making billions and billions of dollars, sometimes billions a day, while people are suffering in the world, that there is a moral responsibility to use some of that money to help those who are suffering. And we already know from experience that the rich, once they get very rich, only want to get richer. And the greed takes over. And does Jeff Bezos think about helping? He could alleviate all the hunger in the United States for who knows how long, maybe indefinitely, with his massive fortune. Or he could pay off the student debts of every student in the country, or any number of things, but he doesn't do any of them. In fact, he shortchanges his own workers at Amazon and nickels and dimes them. So that's one example, but you can name any number of examples. Once, although maybe some billionaires do actually contribute to their societies. And we had one who was a Democratic presidential potential nominee who ran for the nomination, and whose name escapes me for the moment. We had another one, Bloomberg, who is, well, he's mostly one of the greedy ones, but he has donated some money to some worthy causes. And by some money, I mean millions of dollars, but that's really not, you know, if he donates millions of dollars, that's like a normal person donating a couple hundred, because in relation, but it's really not even like that, because a billionaire like Bloomberg could donate everything. He's got billions of dollars. If he decided to be a massive philanthropist and help many, many people, he could spend billions of dollars. He could leave himself with $300 million and still have enough money for him and his family to be extravagantly wealthy indefinitely, forever. So what's the excuse? Why do they keep piling on the billions and the millions? It's just sheer greed. So they're not going to contribute on their own. Now, some do. Think of Bill Gates, the Bill Gates Foundation, which the Gates have donated billions of dollars to help people throughout the world. And for his trouble, he becomes the focus of crazy conspiracy theories, the QAnon type of conspiracy theories that are completely unfounded in truth. But that's what's going to happen. But yes, okay, some billionaires will help. But most won't. Many won't. And that's why it comes to our democratic government, which theoretically is run by the people, and we are close to running the government by the people, as close as perhaps we could be in this age, in this time. The people actually can have an effect on the government here, and they do have an effect on it. We've got movements right now that are affecting change and helping to affect change. And thanks to Bernie Sanders' massive Our Revolution movement, the entire Overton window has been moved to the left as to what is acceptable dialogue in the Democratic Party, where concepts like Medicare for All, although have not been universally accepted by the Democratic Party, are discussed seriously all the time. And many Democratic candidates, senators, and House members are backing Medicare for All, which is national health insurance for everybody, as detached from your job situation. And we all know more now than ever that we are not going to be secure with a health insurance that is attached to our employer. Can't trust the employer, and you can't trust the economy to keep that employer solvent. And a lot of people, millions and millions of people, record filings for unemployment right now, more than at any time except during the Great Depression. You can see that we need a healthcare system that is not attached to the employment system. And that's Medicare for All. And thanks to Bernie Sanders' movement, we can see on the Democratic platform, okay, not Medicare for All, although it was seriously debated. But we do have huge increases in healthcare. It is recognized as an important priority, and the discussion continues as to can we do Medicare for All, and it's not outside the realm of possibility. So this is how the window is moved and why this was a popular movement. This was a popular movement, and that was Max GL. Max is checking in with me to see whether we are still on, and I am saying, yes, please, Mr. Max. Because he will be my guest, and he'll be coming on in about 8 minutes for the second half of my show. I have been ranting and talking on my own now for about 30 minutes, and we are sliding into the last minute and 15 seconds of the first half of my show as I'm recording it here on Spotify and Google and Apple Podcasts via the Anchor app. That will be posted tomorrow. Please give it a listen. You can give it a listen every week, because after I spout live here on Facebook, I always go ahead and upload the resultant show onto the podcast platforms to stay there for perpetuity, where you could always check it out. You can also look on the Richard Rants Show discussion group here on Facebook. And I am going to check off now, but I will be right back in 5 minutes with Max.